This broadcast is brought to you by Pearson, the team that brings you The Self, the Goldman Fristo, and now the new Peabody Picture Vocabulary Test 5 and the Expressive Vocabulary Test 3. Enjoy a special 10% pre-publication discount when you order these vocabulary tests before December 31st, 2018. Learn more at pearsonclinical.com/PPVT5.
Please listen carefully.
What is communication?
The act of taking a thought from my head and putting it into your head.
Essential behavior of life. We have the both blessing and responsibility of trying to foster
it. It's the strongest way for two people to convey information to each other.
Bridging what I have in my head to the outside world.
Draws us out of ourselves, draws us into that relationship, you know, builds up our families. Without it, we'd be lost.
I think it's the ability to share your innermost feelings and thoughts with others.
Whatever it is that we do to express intent and achieve an impact.
Communication is the ability to express your needs, wants, frustrations, and desires to anyone that you feel needs to have that information.
Welcome to episode 58 of the Speech Science Podcast. I'm Matt Hott. Excited, enjoyed, beside myself to be joined, as always, by Michael McLeod.
What's up, buddy?
And Michelle Wintering.
Hello.
I noticed, Michael, you always say what's up, and I never, ever respond. I am so sorry.
On occasion, you do.
Do I?
Yeah, I think last week you did.
It makes me feel like this is real radio if I have like a catchphrase or something.
What's up, everybody?
I'm happy to say it without a response.
Oh, man, this has been a weird yet randomly awesome week since the last time we recorded. I saw Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which was the animated Spider-Man cartoon. And oh my gosh, guys, I cried in a movie. And I'm not sure why, if it was because I saw the excitement in my son's face as he and I enjoyed our nerddom together in a giant movie theater, or if it was the emotional ties of father-sonhood, I don't know. And then I saw Rent. They came down to the Aronoff down here in Cincinnati. I took my wife out for that. I ordered a birthday or a Christmas gift for my wife. Guys, I'm having a great week. How about you guys?
So you cried at animated Spider-Man, but not at Rent.
Correct. Well, no, I did tear up in Rent. I did tear up at Rent.
Okay. But not the same amount.
Not the same amount. Like, okay, so I'm a theater minor. Like, when I was in grad or in college, I took theater and got the minor and whatever. And I couldn't help but creep into set design critique mode and costume design critique mode.
Like, you can't shut off SLP, you can't shut off theater.
Like, no, normally I can just shut it off and be like, I enjoy it. But this, I love the show. I love the music. Mimi was a little bland. She didn't quite dominate the stage like I wanted her to do. But the set design was weird. Like, the musicians were on stage. The costumes, which should have been the easiest, when Roger takes off his jacket, he looked like a high school kid.
Hmm.
So, if you've never seen Rent, you have no idea what I'm talking about right now. But it's okay.
I have not seen it live, but I've seen the movie version.
Yeah. But yes, no, I did cry when Angel, spoilers, when Angel died, I did cry during Rent a little bit.
It's a great soundtrack.
So, Michael, how has your week been?
Not as good as yours, apparently.
Anything fun or exciting that you've been doing?
I'm working with two students who are two current grad students at a school that I'm at. We're doing my research study, and this is their final week with me and with the school. So I've been kind of wrapping things up with them. Two absolutely fantastic students who will be amazing SLPs throughout their career. So kind of wrapping up with them, and they were in my clinic this week as well. So it was nice. It was a really good week with them.
That's awesome, man.
Mm-hmm.
Is this still the research on the executive functioning?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. How much longer you got on that?
Probably about, I would say, maybe 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
The biggest thing will be the final testing at the end. So getting all the final testing done, that'll really, you know, working around the school schedule to get all that done. So hopefully sooner than later.
Nice.
Yep.
And Michelle, how's your week been?
My week has been good, full of lots of random odds and ends that needed to be done, like building a bookshelf and scheduling a vet appointment and registering our cat on the army base here because you have to register pets. Just what? Random odds and ends of things, but but a lot of things taken care of. Some CEUs. Took my son to his last final speech pathology appointment. I think a few months back, aww, I told you all about taking him to a pediatric feeding specialist. And she has been really, really awesome. So I've learned a lot from her. And James is thriving. Baby speech science is doing well.
Oh, yay. That's the first time his name has been ever said on the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's not intentional. I think you got me calling him baby speech science. So I guess that's.
I just never used his name because I didn't know. I didn't want to meet that guy.
I think I saw a few pictures of him. I think it was at a church. Was that you?
Yeah, that was his baptism right after Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. That is really
cool. He is absolutely adorable.
Why, thank you. I think so, but I know I'm biased like most parents are.
I want to find the parent that's like, my kid is ugly.
I mean, they all look a little weird in the first month of their life, but they get pretty cute.
They're all alien babies. Like, that's what they are.
They look like little old men, or they're just very wrinkly, and they went through a traumatic experience, and
and they're just slowly getting over it.
Yeah, and everything is new in the whole world to them. Even air is new to them. Like, it's just...
Yeah, get used to it.
Getting used to it. Welcome to the world. Get used to it. It's all downhill.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. It is kind of just throwing them right in. So,
you know what I'm doing, actually? And this is a parent moment, a parent tip from me, the worst parent in the world.
Not true. Stop that, Matt.
I have decided that I am not giving my oldest son enough attention, like good attention, full attention. He'll talk to me nonstop and I'm still on my phone or, you know, half-heartedly listening. And so starting tonight, actually, he and I sit down and I put everything away and we turn off every TV and I give him about 5 to 10 minutes undivided attention. Like, not playing, not video games, not action figures. We literally laid on I laid on the bed, he sat on the bed, and he talked almost the whole 10 minutes by himself. And guys, I found out my son has a best friend named Nathan. He's a kindergartner. His favorite school subject is coloring, but not happy nappy time.
They call it happy nappy time?
Yeah.
That's and great.
I forget the girl's name, but he doesn't like her because she always wins when they play Power.
Hey, you know, you, without even trying to, just fulfilled the speech podcast challenge.
That is absolutely fantastic, Matt.
I
got to give it to you, man. I wonder what percentage of parents are actually doing something like that.
You know what, though? It came from, I was doing an interview with one of my students today, like, for an ETR, and I have questions that are like, what's your favorite subject? What's your favorite, you know, who do you have as friends? And I realized, I was like, I don't know this answer to my 5-year-old, but I know this about all of my students. I need to flip that. So like, it was just selfishly, I was like, oh, I gotta find out these answers myself.
So, have you ever heard of the hot seat game? We used to do it as like a get acquainted activity for summer camps that I worked, and my roommates in college, we even played it before. Basically, you just put someone on the quote hot seat, which is extra fitting for you, Mr. Hot. And the idea is that you set a timer. We would do it for a minute. And it was when you were just meeting these people, like to break the ice sort of thing. And you would set a timer and you could fire questions at them. And they would start really simple because you don't know these people. Like, do you have siblings? Where were you born? What's your favorite color? Like, and the idea is answer as many questions as you can in that 60 seconds. So you can say pass for whatever reason. It gives you a spare, you know, you can pass just because you don't want to answer it or because it takes too much time to answer it or whatever.
What is the theory of relativity? Pass.
Yeah, exactly. But what was fun is that even when I played it with people I considered my best friends, my roommates in college, I would learn new things about them. And sometimes the people right around us, we kind of take for granted those things, but we put more effort into knowing the answers of our students or knowing our coworkers or that sort of thing. So 5 or 10 minutes, even a minute. How much can you learn in a minute, right?
Well, the way he talked.
He's five, right?
He's five. He doesn't.
Yeah,
he
is just, exactly.
But yeah, no, I was actually kind of like, I was actually really like, once I put everything down and just kind of listened to him, I couldn't stop smiling because he just, what was it? He goes, "We haven't talked like this in ages." And I was like, "When? What sentence is that?
You haven't been alive for an age."
That is beautiful, Matt. I love it.
Speaking of interactions, a little shout out to Yvonne Gonzalez Redmond, who sent us a message over Facebook. And in answer to her question, if you're ever looking for anything, you can head over to our website, podcast.speechscience.org. From there, the little link that says more episodes, you can access all previous 57 episodes that we have done, a year's worth of listening right there. You can also email us speechscience2018@gmail.com or give us a phone call, 614-681-1798. Or you can hashtag at Speech Science. As I told Yvonne, if you're looking at any of the previous episodes, probably before 25, we were still figuring out what we were doing. So don't be mad at us if it sounds kind of terrible.
We're still figuring out what we're doing, right?
Right. That's true.
That was before Michelle and I joined the team.
That's true. What episode did you guys join?
I want to say 30.
26.
30, really?
No,
I'm just joking.
I think it was around 36, actually.
Was it really? Are we on 20 episodes with you guys?
I don't know. It's somewhere around there. I'll have to look back. 36.
Let's see. This is wonderful radio as I look this back up. Oh, I don't have it written down. You're on episode 37 for sure.
See, 36? I was right. 36, 37, somewhere in there.
No, 35.
What?
35, not
episode
bad.
35. It was,
we're past 20, Matt.
Dementia, special education, autism, and apps. Welcome to episode 35 of Speech Science. I'm Matt Hott, joined as always by Luke Stuber.
How are you? Episode 35.
We have made it halfway to 70. It is the official Speech Science midlife crisis. Out in Philadelphia is Mike McLeod.
What's going on?
And joining for the first time, Michelle Wintering down in El Paso.
Hello, everyone.
Can you see the wall from there?
There you go. Yeah, there's already a wall.
Oh, so, all right. So it has been almost 2 months since we have done an episode. So I thought
that would be strange to listen to that episode. Oh,
way
my God.
Back in April 9th, 2008.
Throw it back.
There you go. We'll put a link under that into the show notes so you can hear Michelle.
I was very pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, coming up on this episode. oh my gosh, episode 58. Coming up on this episode, the future of a interstate license. Also, how does your brain look when you're being a bilingual person between ASL and spoken English? And would you sign a mandatory promissory letter? Your job. You're listening to Speak Science.
Do you have an idea for a product or book? Or are you ready to go beyond in-service presentations? Well, how do you get started? And what if you don't have any business experience at all? Well, I have some great news for you. I'm Mei-Ling Chan, and I'm getting the nitty-gritty stories from parents, teachers, therapists, advocates, and people with disabilities who have created successful businesses, and they're sharing their intimate stories with you. Listen to us on the Exceptional Leaders Podcast and fast-track creating and building and sharing your idea with the world so that you can help more people.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Speed Science, episode 58. I almost said 38. You guys have got me so messed up. I'm Matt Hodge, joined by Michael McLeod.
What's up?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You answered.
You finally answered.
You had that planned the whole time.
I did. 22 episodes in, man. I've got it. Michelle Wintering, how are you?
How's it going, man?
Oh, I'm excited by this. According to Asha, an interstate compact license is being worked on.
I am crazy excited about this. I want it to have happened already, but please, Asha, if anyone is listening, what can I do to encourage this?
So the fall 2018 update is the drafting team continue to meet through the summer to finalize a draft through September 2018. They presented to the National Council at their meeting on October 5th and to the Board of Directors on October 12th, and has been sent to stakeholders such as state licensing boards, state associations, and affiliated organizations for review through New Year's Eve 2018.
Yeah, because I just think of, I mean, myself as us being a military family, we're moving around every couple of years. So I'm currently holding inactive or active licenses in three different states, working on a fourth one right now. And trying to maintain those is a little insane, to be honest, because each state has one is 2 years, one is 3 years. They have different fees. They have different continuing education requirements. And that's even though they all require ASHA, they still have their own state, just as we know, state requirements. And not just military members, but if you're a traveling therapist, and nowadays with telepractice becoming bigger and bigger, when I was in El Paso, right on the state line between Texas and New Mexico, when I was looking for jobs, some of those jobs required licensures in both states because you could drive 5 minutes and be in New Mexico. And I think there's a lot of anyone living in a, like you in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You could easily be working in Indiana or.
I'm about 20 minutes. No, I'm about 35 minutes from the border of Indiana and about the same from the border of Kentucky. Like when I do my home health care, I'm going as far west in Ohio as I possibly can.
Yeah. Please keep working on this. That's all I have to say. I wish this was happening now as I'm trying to work on my fourth state licensure.
Yeah, I'm licensed in Pennsylvania, Delaware, and Maryland. And
really?
I just know the process of getting the license in all of those states was so annoying. It could not have been more different state to state. In Maryland, I had to get like a passport picture done. And in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, the amount of clearances you have to get an FBI clearance, a state police clearance. You have to do a child abuse 4-hour training. It's crazy the amount of like you have to go through so many clearances, and everywhere you go, you have to show them your clearances. And when I was applying to other states, nobody cared about these licenses. And like this was a nationwide FBI clearance, but you have to get cleared all over again. I had to pay for a whole background check and pay for everything. It's intense. It's an intense process. And I was so eager to start working in these states, but it's such a process back and forth between you and the licensing board. So anything Asha can do to kind of ease this burden on us would be fantastic.
I had to do a fingerprinting for the license, I think in Ohio, when I first got it. And then I might be the school license I'm getting confused with. But then when I worked in another school for something not related to speech therapy, I had to get fingerprinted again. I'm all for it. I'm not going to probably work in another state, but if I do, I like the idea of this. I mean, give us the hardest, whatever state has the hardest standards. We all know that they're ASHA, at least ASHA standards. Let's go to that.
Well, and I would love it if there could be some kind of grace period, you know, of if you move to a new state that you can practice for a number of months under your old license as long as you started the process for that state or something. Because how many times when we move are, you know, I can't work for a given period until that licensure goes through. So, and telepractice, Matt, you never know. If you get into telepractice, you have to have a, my understanding with Ash's guidance is you have to be licensed in both states for that.
Other health-related compacts, that's what they're calling this. They're calling this the interstate compact. Nursing licensure compact, you have 25 states that work together. The enhanced nurse licensure compact is 26. Mental health is 45. The emergency management assistance is all 50. EMS is 12 states. Medical licensure, 20. Physical therapy, 14. And they have not yet met the minimum threshold in the psychology and the APRN compact. They're still working to get that.
Yeah, and Michelle mentioned CEUs earlier. One thing I learned this year doing my CEUs, because they're due by January 1st, was that certain states do not allow for you to get CEUs unless they're live, unless it's a live course.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't do a tape-recorded online training and get CEUs. When I read that, I could not believe it. So there's clearly a ton of SLPs that are affected by that, and you have to devote your weekends to these live trainings, and you have to like sign up. And I'm assuming the live ones are way more expensive, because you have to pay for the actual presenters. So that's tough. That's tough. Mm-hmm. That's something that I can't believe. Thankfully, none of the states I'm licensed in are on that list of it needing to be live. But that's crazy to me.
Yeah, that is nuts. And not even all the states are a renewal come end of December. My Colorado one is the end of November. So you have to keep track of different. It's just a little crazy.
I can't even, I don't, you know, I can't wait for this, if this works out that way, but I don't know. I always fear when we get politicians involved and ask them to help create this. And that's what this is kind of coming from. This is a push through Congress because of the Medicaid changes. And it worries me a little bit that, and I will just say that that is my only little bit of loyal or a little bit of an issue.
What is your worry, I guess?
So anytime you get politicians involved, it's never straight up to make things easier. It's usually to try to either cut funding or save dollars or, you know, if they say, oh, we like the way Pennsylvania does it, and if you're licensed in Ohio, yeah, you'll be grandfathered in, but you can't bill for Medicaid.
Exactly.
And that's where my concern comes from.
But they'll paint it as, oh, we're just trying to cut red tape. We're just trying to make it easier for the clinician.
Mm-hmm.
But me, it always, when it comes to politicians, it always, always, always has to do with cutting costs. Always. It's one of the easiest things they can do is cut programs, cut funding, and then makes themselves look like they're doing a great job.
So we need more SLPs to run for public office, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's Asha. That's those Asha dudes.
I would be okay with that.
All those lobbyists they got.
I know, Matt. You got me thinking about it now. It's never been on my bucket list.
we want to hear from you. Are you running for office? 2020. Say that again, Mike.
Lucas Stuber, 2020.
Hey, I think I realized I could actually run for president in 2020.
Do it.
I'll be 35. No, I'll be 34 at the election. 35 on Inauguration Day. I think I would count.
You got to wait a little longer.
Hot 2020. All right, we want to hear from you. Podcast.speechscience.org. From there, you can email us, speechscience2018@gmail.com, or give us a phone call, 614-681-1798. You can also find us on Facebook or the hashtag Speech Science. Also, are you rating and reviewing us? We want to get 200. So please go over and do that. Let us beat talking with tech. All right.
Hey, Matt, you need, I'm just thinking here. You need some running mate who has a sweet last name that goes with hot. Hot something. The sauce. Hot something
hot
ticket.
Sauce.
Yeah.
Ooh, a kid I went to school with, and we bowled together, Mike Sauce. He would be perfect. Hot sauce in 20. Well, but he's a year younger than me, so we'd have to be hot sauce for 2024.
That'd be amazing, though.
You can find somebody else.
I like the guy. I could totally, we would just work. We bowl. That we would use the bowling alley in the bottom of the White House. All right. Oh, this next story comes out of the Ashawire. Researchers are mapping how bilingual brains switch between ASL and spoken English. I never actually really thought too much about it, but I guess, yeah, your brain would switch pretty consistently when you're signing versus talking.
I'm guessing it's probably similar to spoken languages, just a different modality. So activating different parts of the brain.
Yes, when participants switch between ASL and English, activity increased in brain areas associated with cognitive control. However, when turning a language on, the brain exerted no additional effort.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's pretty much what they're saying. So what stood out to me was they were saying when disengaging from one language, it does require some cognitive effort, but activating a new language really comes relatively cost-free from a neurobiological standpoint. So it wasn't exactly very taxing. So it was kind of more smooth, I suppose you can say.
I
liked that their participants were all professional ASL interpreters who were CODAs, children of deaf adults, because those are people who are native ASL communicators. Their first language is ASL because that's what they communicate with in the home with deaf parents. So that's a neat population to study.
How does this look for when we're looking at, you know, when we're looking at it going the other way, when we're looking at a student that maybe is nonverbal that we teach sign to, and then we are slowly bridging in the spoken part. Does this have any clinical significance, or is this just an interesting study?
I think it definitely has clinical significance.
Okay.
Basically, you know, if you have someone who's relying 100% on sign and starts verbalizing, it's going to be important to really recognize the switch between the two and really how the ASL was used to either benefit the verbal language to help it move along faster than it would have if it were not there, and kind of switching between the two as they converse and as they're in different environments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm guessing we'd have to get somebody to research that specifically, or maybe there is some research on that, because it's not like they're using ASL as a complete language.
Right.
You know, they're using it as individual vocabulary words, basically.
Exactly.
So
I will have the link up. I actually just linked to the article from the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences of the United States of America. And it goes a little bit more in depth into that, but I don't know.
The research topics in this field are just never ending. You can literally research anything. Like, language and speech are just so intricate with so many different avenues. Like, there will be research in this field forever. It's amazing.
I was having this conversation today with the school psych I share an office with. And if you think about how memory works or language works in general, there is no like bank or file folder or, you know, functioning drive that we use. It's a literal electrical charge. Mm-hmm. Leaving one neuron into the next, and it's affected by other chemicals floating into our brain that create speech or creates us to use sign language. It's almost terrifying when you think about it, that all our whole consciousness is decided by random electrical charges and happy chemicals floating in our brain.
And when you put it that way, we're pretty simple, right?
Exactly.
Oh, we want to hear from you. Go to our website, podcast.speechscience.org. From there, you can email us, speechscience2018@gmail.com. or give us a phone call, 614-681-1798. Our last topic for the night, how would you guys like it if I made you sign a loyalty pledge to Home Depot if you wanted to work for Speedside?
I love Home Depot.
Okay, Lowe's.
Man, fair enough. Depending who we're signing
Harbor Freight,
to.
Lowe's, Harbor Freight, doesn't matter. Sears. Would you do it?
I like all those stores.
Okay. How about a loyalty pledge to another country?
Which one?
You pick.
Australia? I would do that.
Australia. All right.
Our five listeners in Australia, we do love you. But this is actually
the UK. What do we got? How many listeners over there?
Five. I think there was five there as well. But no, so this is what's happening in Texas, of all places. A youth or a children's elementary school speech and language pathologist refused to sign a pro-Israel oath, and she lost her job. And actually, evidently in Texas, there is a part of the language that says the Texas government code, the contractor affirms that it does not currently boycott Israel and will not boycott Israel during the term of contract.
So, and so these are for city or state employees?
Yeah. Pursuant to section 2270.001 of the Texas government code.
If we have any more, we've had people write in who work in Texas schools before, and I really would love to hear from them if they have experienced this, because I had not heard of this, but granted, I didn't work in a school in Texas, so maybe that's different.
Aren't you? No, oh, you were in Arizona. Not
no, I was never in Arizona. I don't know where you keep getting that from.
Where were you?
I was in West Texas, in El Paso, Texas.
Did you have to sign a loyalty pledge?
No, but I didn't work in a school, so I don't know if that's why.
Oh, okay.
I don't get what the motive is behind this. Am I missing something?
I don't get it either. I've never heard of this, and I lived in Texas.
They're saying that it is, let's see, this is coming from The Intercept, so take what it is. They are a brand of journalism that is a little bit more on the edge and a little bit more like soldier journalism, where they go out and try to find better or try to find stories. But it says, in order to obtain contracts in Texas, a citizen is free to denounce and work against the United States, advocate for causes that directly harm America. Oh, wait, hold on. In a continue to work, a Maui would be perfectly free to engage in any political activism against their own country, participate in any economic boycott of any state or city within the U.S. However, she would not be able to boycott Israel. So that's what that part of the paragraph was saying, was that you, as a U.S. citizen, you can say, I don't really believe in the pledge, or I don't want to stand during the national anthem. But in Texas, they were making her sign this.
So this, I'm trying to read more into that. It looks like it's about BDS, which is boycotting divisive sanctions. So there's some sort of sanctions going on. I have to claim ignorance here on this. Sorry.
That's okay. So Texas became, this is coming from Forward.com, Texas becomes the 17th state to pass a law outlawing the BDS. Later known as House Bill 89, charges the Texas Comptroller's Office with making a list of all companies that boycott Israel and provide the list to the state agency. This was passed in 2017, May 2nd. It passed the state house 131-0. California to South Carolina, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo implemented a similar measure by executive order.
There has to be some sort of monetary something going on here. These politicians are clearly being funded by an outside group to push this.
I never even knew this was a thing.
Oh, until you sent this article, what was, Mike, you found this one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had never heard of it.
I was literally flipping through Facebook. Of course, I saw speech language pathologist, so that caught my eye. So I finished the sentence. I read the rest of it, and I was like, what? Like, this makes no sense. And I read it, and I was like, this is insane.
Huh. Yeah, what are we reading?
Ohio has a legislation enacted just like that.
What have you signed, Matt?
You might have signed one. You might have signed the fine print.
I don't know. It says, okay, so here's the states. California, Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, Kansas, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, and whatever the little state is next to West Virginia. Maryland?
What? What mm-hmm. small fine print is this in? I really want to know.
I don't know. This is really good radio where we all figure out that we might have signed a
long
random
pauses while we try to Google things. No.
It's that kind of article. This is so far-fetched and so out of nowhere.
This article, if it was printed, is about a 15-page article, just so everyone can know.
It's a big one.
Yeah, I have not had to sign any. I don't think I've signed anything.
You might have, man. Don't go boycotting.
Yeah, well, you're in Pennsylvania, but you're a private practice.
So this woman who lost her job, I believe she was a Muslim, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So she was clearly, she broke the pact and she was fired. She was straight up fired.
Yeah, she was fired because she did not sign.
Because she wouldn't sign it, yeah.
Oh, here you go. Here's the lawsuit. On August 13, 2018.
Her contract was not renewed, yeah.
Pflugerville Independent School District. Pflugerville. I love that name. sent Ms. Omowi a contract to provide the school district with Arabic assessment services. Ms. Omowi had been contracting with the school district for 9 years. On September 10, 2018, the school district provided Ms. Omowi with an addendum to the contract, which states that Ms. Omowi affirms that she does not currently boycott Israel and will not boycott Israel during the term of the contract. On the 17th, Ms. Omowi informed the school district that she wouldn't be unable to sign the addendum, citing moral issues. Pflugerville Independent School District informed Ms. Omowi that it would not be able to provide her with payment if she refused to sign the addendum, and Ms. Omowi refused to sign and was forced to terminate her contractual relationship with the school.
So it says here that Omowi concluded that she could not truthfully or in good faith sign the oath because in conjunction with her family, they had made the household decision to refrain from purchasing goods from Israeli companies in support of the global boycott to end Israel's decades-long occupation of the West Bank and the Gaza.
It's personal for them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so she probably paid attention to something that a lot of people don't.
And this had absolutely nothing to do with her ability to provide effective therapy.
Exactly. Yeah. And she'd been working there, I think it said 8 years, a long time.
Nine years.
Been contracted with that district.
Unbelievable.
Well, and it's even, what happens if you do business with or what if you buy something from a business that boycotts, you know, a country that you thought you signed a loyalty? Like, this is weird, guys. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm just, I don't know. I never realized that this was happening.
And to make matters worse, I came across the part of the article that says, Omowi is, to her knowledge, the only certified Arabic-speaking SLP in the district. So now that she does not have a job anymore, this will most likely leave dozens of young children without an SLP competent enough with, you know, Arabic speaking to be able to evaluate and treat them.
That's a good thing. It probably wasn't done based off of her religion or anything. It was probably just a straight down the line. They were sending this addendum to all their SLPs that they were putting on contract, right? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll say sure.
But you know what? I don't care if you support or boycott against Israel or any other country. I think this is just a crazy idea of having to sign some random loyalty contract for my job.
That's where I'm at too, is I don't understand how this affects her job as a speech pathologist.
If you have a religious difference based on this, isn't this unconstitutional in some way?
That's why she's suing. Yeah, did you see I was looking at follow-up articles and she is actually suing?
The ACLU is also moving in on this. Evidently, earlier this year, the Supreme Court ruled that states cannot punish companies for boycotting Israel.
Huh. So she has a case. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. We're not lawyers, so.
Insane.
Yeah.
So this woman was an SLP at this school for 9 years in the developmentally disabled and autistic classroom.
Serving bilingual and ESL kids.
Yep.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So.
Unbelievable.
I don't even know, man. I don't.
SLPs are always finding a way to get front page news.
So, okay. So, yeah, right. And here's a list of, I found a list of products that if you, so let's say you signed the contract, but then didn't buy from these companies, you could be considered boycotting, for example, in this issue, Israel. So you own a soda, let's say you decided to buy the generic version of SodaStream. It's on the list of companies to boycott. If you're doing cosmetics and the Ahava Dead Sea salt scrubs, if you don't use that, you could be considered breaking your contract. Let's see. If you don't buy Stanley Black & Decker hardware, you're breaking the contract.
So it's saying that you have to buy from, I guess that's... That's a step, taking one step further.
No, I mean, it's a loyalty cause. So if you buy your compact computer, but not your Hewlett Packard, you know, if they want to fire you, they could say that you're doing it to boycott Israel.
And that's ridiculous.
Just saying. All right. Well, that was fun. Did you have to sign a loyalty clause? Head over to our website. Oh my gosh. Podcast.speechscience.org. From there, you can email us, speechscience2018@gmail.com, or give us a phone call, 614-681-1798. When we return, I promise we'll have a little lighter news fair to end on. You're listening to Speech Science.
Hey, everyone. You know, let's all stop what we're doing right now and take a moment. That felt good, huh? Just like that, we had a nice special sort of moment, together. Of course, they don't all need to be quiet moments to be special. They could be loud moments, goofy moments, sporty moments, dorky moments. Moments where we talk or walk or just hang out. It doesn't really matter. They all count. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. Sounds like somebody agrees. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Today, call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Speed Science. I'm Matt Hott, and I promise the last part of the show will be a lot more uplifting than the first part of the show. That was a little deep. That was probably the deepest we've gotten on the show in a long, long time.
I don't know. We've gotten pretty dark before.
Yeah, I mean, the last one we were kind of down in the dumps for a couple articles. Good point.
I did spend like 5 minutes yelling at every school-based SLP that doesn't order AAC devices.
All right, moving on.
Hey, guess what?
What?
This is the time where we get to go see Santa. And however, not all of our students have the opportunity to go see Santa because it can be a very involved process. The sounds, the smells, the waiting in line, but not in this scenario. And I lost the article. I had such a good buildup. Someone help me. There it is.
This Santa understands kids with autism because he has it too.
Thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome.
This is coming out of the Today Show. Let's see. Santa
has autism, so he gets it. This is such an awesome moment.
I love it. It's just a really good feel-good story that a lot of kids that we work with can relate to. And I love that the Santa specifically said, you know, he's not the real Santa, but he has the approval of the real Santa to come make this possible for kids with autism or other sensory needs. So.
And I'm also hoping that parents of kids with typically developing children will kind of get a chance to meet this Santa and, you know, observe him and see how he works and kind of get, you know, because not everybody has the knowledge that us SLPs do of autism and all that they're capable of. You know, some families are still don't have the education that we have. So maybe, you know, seeing this and the positivity that it brings, it could further spread awareness and some of the great things you can have.
Yeah, his name is Kerry Magro. He says that when he was 6 years old, everything was fine. And then a camera flash sent him into a meltdown or a breakdown mode. And it ended that beautiful moment right there. And ever since then, he's wanted to give back. I will give a shout out over here to Cabela. We took our students over to the Cabela's to do their free Santa and, you know, get pictures with and do all the whole thing. And they told us the next time that we come out there to give them a call ahead of time. And they'll make sure that they get all their crafts and stuff lined up so that our kids have something to do. Instead of waiting in line, they could be building a craft at the table and then go up one at a time to go get them.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I like that.
Well, and this Santa also, he enlists special education teachers and therapists like SLPs to be the elves to help kind of set up that environment. And I love the pictures that show him on the floor with the kids looking at a train, you know, not just posing in a chair for a picture, but he's obviously standing up and jumping up and down with the kid and things that, you know, our sensory need kiddos need. And can make it a lot more approachable and just fun. Like, share the Christmas spirit. I love it.
I'm sure we've all seen the article of the amazing barber who gets on the floor and cuts the boy's hair with autism.
Yes, and I love that.
Gets that on their level. So this is that same kind of concept, but with the Christmas spirit and twist.
Which this episode will be coming out just a week before Christmas time. So we will hear from you after Christmas. So we are excited from all of us to you guys. I say Merry Christmas because next week it'll probably be a best of episode, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't want to record on Christmas Eve. Do you guys?
Nope.
I do. As long as it's all dark articles.
Depressing.
Merry Christmas.
Terrible.
That's right.
But yeah, so this will be the only time we get to say Merry Christmas, and then we'll see you guys for another episode after the new year.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Speak Science in 2019.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah, I guess this is the last time we get to come together as a group until New Year's, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Our opening music.
And those who celebrate Hanukkah just wrapped that up last week. So.
That's true. And Kwanzaa is on the 26th.
There you go.
I only know that because I had to schedule a patient that I normally see on Christmas. And my calendar said it was Kwanzaa. So.
There you go.
Look at that.
Our opening music tonight is Please Listen Carefully by Jazar. Our bump music is by Tritachyon. It's the Spellbreaker. And our closing music tonight is Kevin MacLeod, The Slow Burn, for Michael MacLeod and Michelle Wintering. In the immortal words of Janice Wright, always be a willow, don't be an oak, yolk cracks under pressure. I'm Matt Hot. Till next time, next year. See you later. Bye.
You're listening to the Exceptional Podcast Network.